The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a rainy day of God's liquid sunshine for us. And I know some of us are so glad and will be glad when it's over. We're hoping for snow, though. I didn't hear nothing. Okay. All right. Maybe I'm the only one, huh? Huh? What you think, Matt?
No, thank you.
I just want a little bit on Christmas, just to look at a blanket, you know, for about 5 seconds.
Maybe Christmas, because you don't really have to go anywhere, but overall, nah. I'm fine with nothing.
We've had nothing for a couple of years, but maybe God will hear my requests. I'm close to him and all, you know. But good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm starting off crazy. I haven't had my coffee yet, y'all. You don't know. It was a little bit of a challenge coming in, and I'm excited because I have a great guest with me today. So stay tuned. Get your coffee if you're home. If you're off this week, good for you. If you're driving, be careful and watch the lights as you listen to this fabulous show. Be right back at you.
When the Wall Street Journal needed expert views on crisis intervention and mental health, they called the consortium. When the United States Department of Health and Human Services needed to launch their national 988 hotline, they came to the consortium, and so can you. Here's consortium CEO John White Jr.
Mental wellness influences so many aspects of our lives. Long before the headlines, we were on the front lines. We've been pioneering the art of helping people feel better for more than 50 years. Our expertise is unsurpassed. Today, so many people are under a lot of pressure, telling themselves, I'm okay. Trauma is real. Our counselors can help you feel better now. And when you feel better, you achieve more. With our proven strategies and compassionate guidance, you and your gifts will shine. We've helped thousands of people, and we can help you feel better now. Give us a call. 215-596-8100.
That's right. Call the consortium. 215-596-8100. Listen to Bishop Mary. Call 215-596-8100.
Love, a selfish kind of love. It's time that I realize there's love when you're home. Not a liquid to love. Could it be really me pretending God, somebody's broken heart and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see. Cause they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Yeah. of the greatest of all times, the late Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. If you ever listen to the lyrics, you would kind of take a look at yourself. But that's how we're going to open up today, because we have a very hot topic to discuss this morning. We want to do a follow-up conversation to the community meeting held and hosted by Power Interfaith on yesterday in regards to the Center City Arena. Very, 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 very hot topic. And here to continue the conversation, follow up, advise those of you, my listeners, is a phenomenal woman within herself. She's the first woman and first African-American senior pastor and head of staff at Arch Street United Presbyterian Church. My God, I remember the days sitting in that balcony. Lord help, especially on holidays. A preacher, from what I understand. And she's ferocious in her own right. And she has joined the ranks of the first here in the city. And I'm so proud to meet another first, along with my crazy self, in being the first female archbishop in the city of Philadelphia in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So from one first to another, you know, we got our own little club by ourselves. Welcome for the first time to the Bishop Mary Show, Pastor Brown. How are you, darling?
Good morning. Good morning. It is a delight to be here among the first, of course. It is an absolute pleasure. I'm listening like, who's she talking about? Oh, that's my mama's child.
Oh, you know it's right, because mama already predestined and God ordained, so it had to come through. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me. And, of course, we're going to be hitting about a hot topic, and I think that there was an immediate advisory out yesterday that there was going to be a community meeting held at the historic Mother Bethel Church, which is pastored by my colleague, Dr. Mark Tyler. And from what I understand, there was no standing room, literally. It was packed with people who are very interested in this topic regarding the 76ers Arena, as you want to call it, or the Center City Arena, which is a very hot topic for us here in citizens of Philadelphia, particularly for our brothers and sisters in the Asian community. So let's start off first talking about you and how you landed at Arch Street, and then we'll migrate into the political conversation a little later.
That sounds good. Just thank you again for the invitation. I am born, bred, and fed Baptist. And
Lord, help us. Baptist, bred, Baptist, born, Baptist.
And listen, and
I will be Baptist. Amen. Right. But God.
As God would have it, I ended up at a Presbyterian seminary, which for me was an in-state school. So I went to Princeton Seminary and made friends with a lot of Presbyterian folks, was at a Baptist church in Philadelphia, and was invited to preach for Black History Month at Arch Street. Arch Street Presbyterian is intentional about their diversity. And so they made an intentional decision to reflect that diversity in the leadership. And I started out part-time. And as you know, with ministry, well, would you do a little more? Well, would you be three-quarter time? Well, are you interested? And I, when I tell you, I said, I am not called to pastor. I'm not doing it. And then the Lord said, yes, yeah, sis, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell the people you're ready.
He got jokes, don't he? It's not like he brings us to the board meeting because we don't have a vote. I'm going to leave that alone right there. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I heard about you before I met you. And then, of course, we kind of indirectly crossed paths last week at Soulful Christmas. And I'm dedicating this show to a lady I have known. I wouldn't say over 35, 40 years. The phenomenal songwriter, lyricist, and singer herself, Miss Carol Antrim. And they honored her last week at the Kimmel Center, and it was phenomenal. And I think there wasn't a dry eye in the place when she sang a word from the word. I mean, and she's written many a song, but that messed me up. I was so glad to see her. I sang for 20 years with Carol Antrim Afternoon of Songs. Right out there, Come On Somebody, No 58th and Race, Mount Carmel. If you were not in the house by 2:30, you had to sit in the balcony or go to the basement because everybody wanted to be third Sunday in May for the Carol Antrim concert. So then, and you gave a phenomenal benediction. Most people, one lady was sitting next to me. She said, "Ooh, go ahead, child." And I knew I heard the name. I'm like, where did I know her from? And so I'm so glad to formally meet you. Although we kind of crossed paths, but now we sister girls up in here about to bust it up on this topic. Oh,
these
what a boy.
Now.
So as we know, the 76ers, several developers went to turn a particular area on Market Street, allowing an arena to be in Center City. And it has met resistance from community and civic leadership, as well as, in particular, our Asian brothers and sisters. So would you mind giving us just a backdrop of what the issue is and why it should be a concern?
There are so many places to begin to answer that. I think the primary issue is the inconsistency around how we're making the decision. So who are the stakeholders? Who has the biggest influence over whether Squilla will affirm or turn against this particular project? I think that's at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. So who's driving the bus? Whose opinion matters? There's data on both sides, but we who work with data know that you can make data say whatever you want data to say.
That's correct. So
Squilla said, "Oh, there are studies," and one of the first questions was, "Well, who's paying for the studies?" So there's a distrust around, mm-hmm. you know, there's the follow the money, because that may bring us to some particular conclusions. And then there's the data. You keep saying we're going to rely on this data. Is the data reliable?
Right.
Because if it is not, vulnerable people will be made even more vulnerable. So I would say the data is the first issue. The underlying issue is no one believes the tagline that this will not be disruptive to this community. And I'm saying that with my face as much as I am with my words, that's a hard sell. You cannot tell folks who have seen documented instances of vulnerable communities being gutted is my word, but being gutted by a project that then gets abandoned and the community is then left to figure out. So what do we do with this thing that you dropped on us and promised us would be good for us? And now it's gone and not good for anybody. And we're left holding this empty bag. If you're going to leave us holding a bag, at least leave something in the bag.
So I have a concern, though, when I hear this phraseology that you use, this will not be disruptive to this community. Have mm-hmm. they outlined 2, 3, 4 points of how putting this in particular, in between the arena area that they're talking about? And maybe some folks don't know, and one of my listeners says, what area off Market Street, Arch Street, are they talking about disrupting?
Mm-hmm. Part of it, it is connected to the fashion district area. Mm-hmm. And it will also, the biggest impact is Chinatown.
Okay.
So there were Chinatown residents who were there, churches and community members. I did not hear from any business owners in that area. So that was an absent voice in the room. Again, I'm saying I didn't hear them. It doesn't mean they weren't there. I did not hear anyone from that segment of the community. And many of us were there as churches standing with
the community. So the call for this meeting is to, if I'm understanding, the community meeting, and I was trying to catch a little bit of it on the Facebook post that was there, that they wanted to get clarity, mm-hmm. I'll use that word, from the assigned counsel person as to where his thoughts are, where his feelings are being led, and how this is going to be able to support all of the citizens, in particular, in the Center City District, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay, so some of the questions, as you said, were centered around data, who pays for it. This will not be disruptive for it. And so when the councilman spoke, how did he respond to those questions that could help us to better understand exactly why he is either for or against, or did he make his position clear?
So let me lead with, he did not pick a side. When asked what words would he use to convince his fellow council persons to not move forward, he did have a clear statement that he would have, you know, that he would give in that instance. But he kept going back to, when the studies come out, we can have a better idea. When the studies come out, when the studies come out. So it was the studies paid for by the 76 Development Corp. And it's also community stakeholder input. So one of our final asks was, can we get a list of who you are calling stakeholders?
Ah.
Because there was a room full of stakeholders. So if the 150 people who showed up there are not on that list, who are we talking about?
Absolutely. Now, it is known that there are millionaires, billionaires that are the developers for this particular project. And from what I'm understanding, and I did not do my research, so don't let me misspeak, but they have had other projects in the city and have benefited well. Did the 76ers ever say, or was there a representative of them there that said, why they choosing this particular space of all the geographical locations in the city of Philadelphia? Why in Center City, as much as we have clogged traffic, do we need to now exasperate that further by having an arena?
The direct answer to your question, no, there was no one there to answer that question. So this was Squilla and his district.
Okay.
That those were the conversation partners. So it makes sense to me that they were not there.
Okay.
Or they were not represented. I'll say it that way. There are some news articles that answer that question. Again, people's mistrust of certain media outlets or who's telling the story, it's not, the rationale is not resting well with the people in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And it tickled me that a lot of the church communities mentioned, we love the races. We don't love what it does on Sundays when vulnerable people are trying to get to our spaces just once a week, and that disruption, this would be that multiplied.
Absolutely. And of course, I was grateful to see that the faith-based community who has always led historically in talking about issues of concern for communities. Let me just put a pin in it and say in that we are vital to the life of a city. We are vital to the life of a community. I grew up where a pastor had a voice about what is going on, social justice issues, you know, talking about violence or police. Of course, I grew up in the 70s and 80s here, so, you know, we had a lot of those disruptions with gang wars and police interactions and things. The Black Panthers, I mean, you name it, MOVE. We had those things that the community itself said, and leadership, Christian leadership, let me say, or faith-based leadership, shall I say, had a voice about how we're going to handle that. So I'm grateful that we're getting our voice back. But it's such a poignant issue, and we're not as silent as many others will say we have been, even on violence, other issues in the political realm that we now, coming into this, the churches that are in their areas, and I heard you kind of allude to it, that this would disrupt a person's right to worship or get access to it. Now, one of the counters to that is y'all got Zoom, y'all got Facebook. So on those particular Sundays, ain't nobody got to really get there, just have a virtual service.
I'm waiting for you to ask the question because I have the answer.
So how can you dictate to me how I choose to worship and the way in which I choose to worship? I'm old school. I like in person. I suffered greatly during the pandemic, you know, over this virtual. I was grateful to see my people and interact with them as a pastor, but I couldn't wait to get into the house of the Lord, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Oh, glory and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Come on, let's say hello and good morning to everybody. Get a hug and feel that closeness, forsaking not the assembling of one together. So now you want to dictate, I don't know, 5, 6, 8, 10 times a year, that I have to go back to what we became accustomed to by something we couldn't control. I'm going to give you space to respond to that. I'm still high from yesterday in preaching.
I thank you for the space. Many of the clergy who gathered weren't even talking about our own congregants. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the unhoused congregants that rely on churches being open on Sunday because that might be their only space to get a hug. Like, worship is the bonus. They're going to get a hot cup of coffee. They might get a meal. They'll be greeted. They might get some resources to get them through to Tuesday till they can get to the other spaces. Right. Our congregants can come in, or they can go on Zoom. For people who rely on institutions like churches having open doors, that matters.
That's right. That's right. And you're right there at Broad and Arch, correct?
18th and Arch.
Okay.
Broad and Arch is Arch Street United
Methodist. Arch Street United Methodist. I always try to get the Methodist and the Presbyterian, but forgive me. Yes, Arch Street United Methodist and Arch Street Presbyterian. So what persons in the community does your church cater to? Where that location is? Because some folks would say, well, that's out of the arena area. So why should you care?
So in the opening, because it was a power
interfaith
meeting, we opened with prayer and we opened with a song done by a
cantor.
And I can't remember which congregation. But she began with a song that said, "Welcome into the house of the Most High. May you be blessed." That's my text. It preaches itself, right?
It does.
So anyone who wants to come in can come in, and may you be blessed by being in. But then Reverend Hannah Capaldi, who is from the Unitarian congregation, when she prayed, she used the phrase, "We belong to each other." And so as a woman of color, as a first, as all of these categories that folks like to put me in, I know that if it harms my neighbor, it is no good for me. So if any of us are bound, then none of us are free. So, right, perhaps I'm not walking distance from the Fashion District, depending on how you like to walk. If it harms a community of faith, it impacts my community of faith, period.
Ooh.
And who has ever had to drive when streets are blocked off and you have to figure out how you're going to get to your location. Uber drivers, Lyft drivers who are trying to get someone to someplace important. Oh, I don't know, like a hospital that might be nearby. All of these are impacted. So it's not just, well, I don't pastor in the Chinatown community. Okay, but children of God are everywhere. So
absolutely.
Not good for us.
If you live in Old City trying to get to 18th and Arch, you're going to have a little bit of a challenge. only because you're going to be coming through an area where the congestion and or rerouting of some of the streets will probably occur, because I can imagine that some of them are going to be changed to the dynamic of the size of the arena. But more importantly, for those that are in that arena, I'm thinking of Dr. Callahan, who's not too far from there, the Chinese American Church at 11th or 12th and Vine, Pastor Lee, others that I've had on the show to talk about the impact and how it's walking distance for the Asian community who are Christian, and others of a denomination led that utilize their churches in their community and how that's going to be affecting it. I love your line. I absolutely love your line where you say, if it's going to impact my neighbor, then I'm supposed to care. And the first thing that I thought about was Matthew, where God said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So if my neighbor is hurt, I have to care enough to feel the hurt and then try to alleviate it with support. I think that we have become so siloed in the faith community for a number of reasons, that sometimes something that ain't really our concern, we just sit back and get quiet. And that's not what God intended. And I often have to say to some of my colleagues, I'm imagining what heaven is like. I'm certain it won't be segregated there. Only women over here, only men over there, only Baptists and Cochic and Pentecostal and this, and Asian and Presbyterian, you know, black, white, and other. You know, it will not be segregated, because we all come to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. I don't care who's standing next to me, but let me get my glimpse. And if you're from the other side of the world and you're Indian or African or, you know, wherever you are, there's going to be enough room for all of us to come together singing the same voice of hallelujah, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm hoping that in something like this, we are being very, very supportive, that we are being intentional to care about our neighbor. Before we go to break, I had asked you before, what are the type of population that your church serves? And I've heard you say that some of them come for resources and coffee and a hug and a smile. And is that usually the homeless or those of low income, or those that may be what we consider to be the least of these that may utilize your place for refuge?
So in particular, our Street Presbyterian, in their intentional diversity, so we attract college students, graduate students, because that's the area that we're in. But again, in that JFK, Market Street, Arch Street, the folks who are or appear to be unhoused, until we have a conversation, we don't really know. If they are unhoused, if they are hungry, they could be well-dressed and hungry. We don't know. We just make sure that they leave with a little something to hold them over. But we have folks who come across the bridge from New Jersey. We have folks who are logging in from as far as Virginia, California. So when I say diverse, it's really whosoever will. Arch Street Pres is not necessarily a neighborhood church. The people who come to Arch Street want to be at Arch Street. A lot of us drive. A lot of us come in. There are some who live in the area, but most of our folks are kind of spread out.
Well, that gives a widespread look. And for those that are, as you say, coming across the bridge or coming from the south or, you know, up 95 or over, you know, Ben Franklin or Walt Whitman, they have to intentionally want to be there. I'm thinking of when we lived in Germantown and we had to drive to South Philadelphia to the historic Union Baptist Church, where Reverend Dr. William L. Banks was our pastor. And we had to be intentional to want to drive from Germantown all the way to South Philly, hoping 76 don't have an accident. And my mother was flooring it, getting off on South Street and flying down to 19th Street to make a right to park. And when we pulled up on that street, she would say, the moment you hit the sidewalk of the church, it's holy ground. And if you act up, I will straighten you out right now. I mean, it was just like that. It's holy ground. Get yourself together. Lord have mercy. Those days. But I appreciate the fact that having been one who's commuted, I understand that you have to be intentional about wanting to belong to a church that may not necessarily be in your neighborhood, but one that you feel a part of as a body of Christ. And that's important, too. And so I'm grateful and proud of that for Arch Street Presbyterian, and certainly for you as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have the senior pastor, amen, the Reverend Carla Jones Brown with me this morning from Arch Street Presbyterian Church, located at 18th and Arch. We're going to continue this conversation in just a few moments. Don't you dare touch that dial. Don't you dare turn it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with you. Somebody's broken heart and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind you see. Cause they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Stay, the God train. and let it begin with
Lord have mercy. Woo! If that don't send a chill down your back, that was the Let There Be Peace on Earth rendition by the phenomenal Ricky Dillard. I listened to that probably 10 times, and it just filled my soul with such joy that we have to be intentional to try and bring peace, even here in the city of Philadelphia. Of course, we certainly are continuing to pray for Israel and that whole situation with the war. We keep our prayers for the Ukraine as well and those that are serving in those places. We pray for our president who almost missed an accident on yesterday. Thank God nothing happened to him. And our first lady. And certainly we pray for our governor and his family and the General Assembly. And then, of course, now the transition from one mayor to the next and from the former council now to the new council. So there's much to pray about and many issues that will be coming paramount to us. And people, it's not just praying time, it's also action time, because faith without works is dead. And if you are silent, you are giving consent. Just make sure you're consenting to the right thing. Well, that's just my little purpay for today. And I'm happy to continue the conversation with the esteemed senior pastor of Arch Street Presbyterian Church, located at 18th and Arch, the Reverend Carla Jones Brown. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I appreciate your presence, Pastor.
It is my pleasure.
Absolutely. And so we began talking about the community meeting, what were some of the concerns, the distrust between the community and the people. And it seems as if it was an earmarked meeting specifically with the council representative, Councilman Mark Squilla, and his community to hear what they are saying. Some of the highlights from that is the inconsistency of what is being offered, the concern that this will not disrupt this community tagline is not something everyone is embracing, shall I say. And everyone's relying on the studies. And then, of course, who's paying for it? How can data be validated? And is it real? And of course, again, we are concerned about the Asian community, which has been in our city for hundreds of years. And someone just sent me a text saying, you know that they were displaced once. Why would it have to happen again? So in understanding the overall progression of a city from the historic perspective, from the historical perspective that a city does have to adjust to the number of people that it is now incorporating. We have youngins, come on somebody, who like to ride their bikes, not necessarily their cars. They do Uber and Lyft. They want to see things modern. The millennial crowd seems to be driving something very strong here in the city of Philadelphia. And they like the cafes and, you know, they like the walks. And I'm telling you, when I go through South Philly, from what I know, it's not the same. I mean, row houses now, they're condominiums. They used to, Grandma bought it for $35,000. Now it's, you know, $435,000. And with a roof, you know, and a little overview. I mean, things that in my mind I could never conceive, but I see how things are changing. To that end, in times like these, Pastor, when you are supposed to be open, embracing, and diverse, how do you find yourself to still yet remain relevant, particularly when you are located in Center City on the west side? Yeah, the west side. You're going up numbers, right? Am I right? Yeah. I'm saying it right. I haven't had my coffee, so y'all bear with me. It'll help me in just a few moments.
Your help is coming. Your help is coming.
I feel my help coming on. So how even is Art Street able to handle the diversity? Because you said most of your folks are intentional in coming in. And so there are some folks with there. But, I mean, you're not too far from Rittenhouse Square. And that's a whole nother breed. You know, you have a diverse group of folks that, you know, have a certain level of, you know, we ain't doing, you know, you know, we're more dignified and serene and yet a powerful message from what I understand, because somebody say you can't preach it, and being able to still be relevant to those that are there.
Mm-hmm. Archbishop, you going to make me be churchy.
No, it's all right. It's Monday.
Right. It's Monday. So the question about how to be relevant first, I don't feel the need to do the work of making God relevant. So that's where we're rooted and grounded. So God will always be relevant. How we show up is our work. So Art Street has grown because when I first came, and you know, I'm Baptist, I didn't know Presbyterians sit in the back. I walked right on up to the front. And it got good. Dr. Dumpson was playing some song. The choir was singing. And I'm standing up. And then I looked behind me and realized I was the only one. And bless God for Carol Antrim. I'll stand still.
All right.
So part of being diverse and being intentional is also being a learning community.
Yes.
So we accept that there are folks who will sit because they were raised in a high church place and they don't, they're okay sitting very still, not clapping, that whole passing of the peace, that extrovert, nope, I'm going to be right here. Cool. There are those of us who are a little more exuberant with our worship.
Yes.
And we peacefully coexist. There have been times when there have been gross misunderstandings and people saying that they heard when they grew up, but because we have done the work of being a community, there was also the next hard conversation. Okay, so let's talk about why that was offensive to the person who was on the receiving end of that, and then let's make it right.
Yes.
And what happened was this beautiful, they then became, their relationship deepened. Oh, so we don't have to stay in the place of being offensive. We can go from that, what you said to me was hurtful, and let me tell you why. And then let's go forward, because we're still going to be a church community. We're still going to serve and love and do all the things we say in our mission statement. But you can't do justice in the community if you can't do it in the sanctuary.
Woo.
So, oh, sorry.
Woo.
That's not what we're talking about.
I'm holding my mule.
But for me, that's the work of being relevant. The work of being relevant is figuring out who you're with and how you want to be in the world and being that to the best of your ability every day, which means we're not going to do everything. We might not be the cute little cafe with the millennials and the, you know, the jazz band. That's not us today. If those folks come, And there's a space for it. Come, let that be part of who we are. So for me, that's my answer about how to be relevant. Who is God calling us to be, and how is God calling us to show up? That's what's relevant. We're not driven by, well, Instagram says you should, or TikTok says you should. Listen, I know I don't need to be on TikTok. That's not my ministry. Nobody needs that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get the SWAT, I mean, snatcher, whatever the other thing is out here now. I barely can keep up on Facebook.
Right.
And I have made this a public that, you know, when I first got to that thing, almost like MySpace, it was an obsession for me. And it took away valuable time. I wasn't a good employee. I wasn't a good parent. I wasn't, you know, it consumed me. And the Lord literally spanked my behind. Mm. And when I picked up a stalker, and my father said, I told you to leave the prince of the air alone. Mm. And I'm thinking, well, he's older, you know, they don't get into that. He said, you made it an idol and God wasn't going to have it. Mm. And so when that particular situation erupted, it brought a sense of awareness that, you know, somebody else's current situation or listen to somebody else preach or, you know, where they at in the world and whose birthday and celebration and anniversary. It's not that I don't care. If I have time, maybe I do. But there were so many more critical, prominent things that I need to take care of, like calling my congregants and finding out how they're doing and hospital visits and, you know, making it tangibly and preparing Bible study and sermons and things of this nature made it more of a apropos for me. And I realized I had done the pulpit a disservice. And the Lord said to me, don't play with me because I'm not the one. And I mean, he and I, we talk like that. So, you know, I'm a girl from the hood. So, you know, he don't have to be proper with noun, verb, agreement and participles. You know what I'm saying? He can dangling participles. You know, he can just say, yo, listen, cool that. And I'm grateful. It has its place. It's done a good job. But then I think a lot of us have realized and revised our ministries based on what everybody else is doing.
Right.
When we should be specific to what God has called us to do. So I love it. I particularly love your phrase that we can't really do it anyplace else if it can't start in our sanctuary. To that end, that because this idea may impact our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, our fellow brothers and sisters of the faith, denominationally different or delivery indifference, we should make sure that we are embracing it in the sanctuary before we have to take a sign and protest and march to say something about the inhumane or the disregarding behavior and treatment of another. Right. The Good Samaritan was someone who did it simply because somebody was in trouble. And I'm grateful that Power Interfaith is now committed to doing that and including a community that's saying, if it's against one, it's against all. All for one, one for all. And we often don't have that mindset because it only matters to us when it's something that hurts us. But the violence in North Philadelphia, the violence in West Philadelphia hurts us too. And we have to be able to relate to the community. That's where relevancy comes in.
Right.
We have to be able to say, I understand your hurt. I understand how you're feeling. What can we do to support you, even if we can't correct it?
Or even for church folk, I don't understand.
Right.
But come and sit with, come let us reason together. Sit
Saith
with
the
me.
Lord.
Help me understand what you are going through. I may not agree with you.
Right.
Can we sit down and give each other space to say, this is threatening my existence. Your silence is part of the threat to my existence. Can you stand with me? At least ask the question. Because then if the answer is no, okay, at least I know. I know where I stand. Cool.
Absolutely.
But give people the opportunity to explain their plight. Don't just assume that you understand. Hear them. I think that's one of the most loving things that people of faith can do. Listen. Just zip it and listen. Don't pray for them till you've listened to them.
You'll pray in a mess, boo. Well, let me leave that alone. So in the meeting, what was the tone and tenor? How did it bring to conclusion the matter? How did the councilmen address them? How did the folks feel? Did you hear anyone at the conclusions sharing or expressing any particular issue for this community meeting, particularly on this issue?
The room, if I can use an old churchy phrase, you could have fried fish in that hot grease. Now, power, as Reverend Tyler reminded the folks, power has a way that we function. Mm-hmm. And so there was a moment when people were not pleased with the councilman's answers. And Reverend Tyler reminded them, we give people room to fully finish their sentences. So there was, you know, there was a little bit of back noise, but people were able to say what they needed to say. And Councilman Scola, on occasion, tried to finish his point before someone finished their question. And so people were just reminded, nope, these are the parameters we've set for this conversation. As it came to a conclusion, the clergy group that had been meeting to prepare for this meeting, we came up with just one final ask. And just before we got to the ask, he talked about this list of stakeholders. And so I had the privilege of doing the final ask. And so the ask was two parts. One was, you know, will you make this list available to us? Because first he said, oh, it's available on so-and-so and so-and-so. And then he pulled back and he said, but I can make it available to you. Great. We need you to make it available to us. Don't send us to a third party. So he did agree to do that. And my follow-up question goes back to we belong to one another. And so the question was, does the city belong to the people or does it belong to the developers? And he very quickly hopped up and came to the podium and he said, oh, it belongs to the people. Okay. So when we get this data, remember it's people over data. There were still some people who still felt unresolved, were still, you know, angry, could have been hangry, could have been, you know, a long day. But a lot of people, I think, at least felt heard, or they could say, you cannot say that you didn't have this input, this data, when you come to your conclusion. We just want to make sure our voices are in your head as you are coming to your conclusion.
Does anyone know what the timeline that the developers are trying to meet? Because I'm certain that this is going to be an ongoing conversation for the next administration. City Council doesn't return. I don't believe they don't return until the week of the 22nd, if I'm correct. So I think their first session may be January 26th. Or the 19th, I'm not sure, but it'll be the call of the new council president when they will be returning. And I'm sure it's going to be a topic that's going to, of course, have to be brought in through committee and from committee making a recommendation to the council at large. Did he hint to that or kind of resolve to that, or is he going to have follow-up meetings with the community so that they can continue to gain knowledge and understanding from him and being their representative for that district?
I have a feeling that even if he doesn't call those meetings, there will be ongoing meetings. He did say that this great data document that has been funded may be completed by the end of the year. Okay, well, that's 2 weeks, right? So we'll see. But even once it's completed, then how long, who's reviewing it? How long will it take to review? I did hear March tossed out as a date. But again, all of this revolves around the reviewing of whatever this study is. What does that study show? And how are you getting the information from the stakeholders in terms of who is in favor and who is opposed? And I heard him say, and everyone has equal weight. Okay.
Well, I guess we shall see, we shall see, we shall see. Okay. Inquiring minds want to know. And I'm going to encourage people to, if you cannot attend the city council hearings in person, then please tune in. Watch Phila Council. I listen to it weekly. If I'm not in the room, you will be amazed at what occurs within our cities that a lot of people don't know, that we find out later. And it is our government in action. So I want to encourage the listeners, check out Watch Phila Council online, when they're on session on Thursdays beginning at 10 o'clock. They will connect you or listen to them on WURD live, I believe, with Ernest Owens. And you can be informed, because being informed helps you to better prepare. I'm so grateful you came and you answered this. And I'll be honest, at the last minute, you responded to Bishop Royster, who is out of state. And it was wonderful for you to jump in at the last minute to have this really wonderful conversation. And I'm just hippopotamus happy to have met you formally, as well as to know that you are a sister in the ministry. And I'm praying God's continued blessings upon you. And please share with everyone the times of your service and when you guys are meeting, so that folks who might be interested can join.
Please feel free to stop by the Arch Street Presbyterian Church at the corner of 18th and Arch every Sunday promptly at Presbyterian time at 10:45. Parking is available with a placard, and you can stay for worship, and then you can park for free until 6 p.m. And so, please also join us on Sunday, December 24th, for our Christmas Eve worship service. There will only be one. Don't come at 10:45 this coming Sunday. Doors open at 5 p.m., and you can enjoy the musical stylings of our music minister, Dr. J. Donald Dumpson, and our choirs, and you will be hugged and loved on. And you might get a little cup of coffee, too.
Oh, well, since I don't have to do any hallelujah services, I wore myself out yesterday. I'm going to put it on my calendar and absolutely look forward to being there. I'm an OG. I like Christmas Eve as
Me
well
too.
As Christmas Day services. So this will be my Christmas Eve service, 5 o'clock on the 24th. So y'all come on and join the crazy Archbishop. I'll try to hold my peace and keep my Baptist-costal self in order, being sensitive to my fellows who might be. But, Lord, don't let the wrong chord hit or the wrong note hit. Amen, because I will be that one standing up and standing alone. I bless the Lord for you. Thank you so much, Reverend Carla Jones Brown, for being here today. For those of you that want more information, please look up Power in Her Faith if you want to become a member of this organization, who is a voice in the community for the community. And as I always say when I'm getting ready to close, baby, if you can't be good, be careful. If you can't be careful, then don't do it. It may not be worth it. Some of us will say an amen to that. All right, until next week, when you're going to have a fabulous time of music, all kinds of music now. Y'all know I'm a music genre. Amen. Just celebrating Christmas. Be safe, be careful today and always. And God bless you. Every single one of my needs.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.